And let's pray together and ask the Lord to illuminate his word for us tonight. Jesus, you are the light of the world. And we ask, Lord, that you would not let us walk in darkness. We ask, O Lord, that you would come and inhabit our hearts. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see you more clearly than we ever have before as we gaze into your eyes in that lowly manger. Amen. Well, on Sunday morning, if you were here, you may remember that we were thinking about what it is that makes Jesus the true Savior of the world. There are a lot of people, as we discovered, who call themselves Savior, especially back in Jesus' day. And there are many people today who act as if they are the Savior of the world, even if they would be too embarrassed to say those words. And often we put our hope in those people, in those systems, in those things. But what is it that makes Jesus the true Savior of the world, if that is what he is? What is it about him? And more to the point at Christmas time, what is it about his birth that shows that he is different from every other baby ever born? Well, our favorite Christmas Eve carol, which we'll sing in just a few moments, Silent Night, directs us to sing Alleluia with the angels that Christ, the Savior, is born. And the final verse is an earnest prayer to that child lying in the manger, and it concludes, Jesus, at thy birth, you are Lord. At thy birth, you are Lord. Christ the Savior is born. And this is a true account of what Christians have believed over the centuries. Jesus didn't become the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, like, say, when he was baptized. And it was not what he did, his teaching or his miracles, that made him Lord. Nor was his saving work limited to the cross. The saving work of the Son of God on our behalf stretches far beyond human existence, from before time began to the eternal future. Jesus was the Savior of the world from the moment that he was conceived. And then for 9 long months, he was immensity, cloistered in his mother's womb, as the poet John Donne once put it. Immensity, cloistered, hidden away in his mother's womb. At his birth, Jesus was the Savior without doing a thing. And this is why we have this description in Silent Night of radiant beams emanating from his holy face. His birth, the hymn says, is the dawn of redeeming grace. What does that mean, to be the dawn of redeeming grace? Now, of course, a carol is not the Bible, even if it's one of our favorites. But what Silent Night describes is the truth of what the Bible teaches. Jesus was Lord at his birth. But what was it about this birth that most clearly teaches us that Jesus alone will be able to deal with the biggest problem that we have? You might think it's what Gabriel said to Mary or what the angel said to Joseph. You might think it's the proclamation that the heavenly host made to the awestruck shepherds. Or You might even think that it's what Zechariah the priest said, that Jesus would give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. But though those things are all true, they're still only things that others said about Jesus. They come from something more fundamental in his nature, something that was demonstrated, not merely claimed. The one thing that showed, even at this early stage, that Jesus was uniquely qualified to save all those who put their trust in him is that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. The fact that he was conceived in the womb of a woman who had never been married, had never been with a man in that way, means, first of all, that this baby was obviously and genuinely a miracle baby. He was unique. No one in the history of the world could make the same claim. Yes, of course, there were many myths about God sleeping with women and having children with them, but this was different. In those cases, the women, even if they had been virgins before, were not virgins any longer after the so-called God had lain with them. But the claim that the Bible makes, the strong claim that goes back to the very beginning of Christianity, is that Mary conceived a child and was still a virgin. As I said a couple of weeks ago, Luke doesn't give us any indication that Mary even knew when she had become pregnant. She simply believed and set off to meet her cousin Elizabeth. This is a unique claim, and of course, it's one that we have a lot of trouble wrapping our minds around. But that is the claim that Christians make. That is what the Bible teaches. The baby Jesus was utterly unlike any other baby ever born. And the virgin birth suggests another aspect of Jesus' nature that Christians have always acknowledged. Jesus is fully God and fully human. Of course, this idea seems bizarre. It seems illogical. How can something be fully one thing and fully something else? Especially when those things seem like they contradict one another. Jesus was both created and uncreated. Jesus is both mortal and immortal. Jesus is both weak and all-powerful, all-knowing, and at the same time acknowledged that some facts were veiled from his understanding. How is any of that possible? But also, how could anyone come up with that on their own? Why would they come up with that on their own? To make the heart of your religion something that's obviously impossible? Well, to put it simply, they didn't make it up. Christians believe that Jesus is fully God and fully human because Jesus said things and did things that could only be explained in that way. He did things that only God could do. He knew what people were thinking. He claimed to forgive their sins. He never did or said anything wrong. He was constantly going around identifying himself as the God of the Old Testament. But at the same time, he got hungry. He was thirsty. He cried. He bled, and eventually, he died. But then he rose again to new life. He was fully God and fully human. To be born of a virgin being by necessity both the Son of Man and the Son of God, sets all of Jesus' claims about himself, as perplexing as they are, on a firm foundation. Now, over the centuries, many have denied that Mary was a virgin at all. Some of them even called themselves Christians. But from the earliest times, no one has ever offered compelling historical evidence that contradicts the Gospels. There is no alternate story that holds any water. But Matthew and Luke, on the other hand, obviously come from two independent sources. They focus on completely different aspects of the story, but they still agree. As you heard before, their stories, although they tell different parts of it, mesh together. On the other hand, from the very beginning, those who denied the claims could never produce anyone, no fellow Nazarene, no disgusted member of the family, who could falsify those claims. And if they could have, they certainly would have. There were a lot of people early on who would have liked to be able to show that Jesus was a fraud, including many people from his own hometown. They did try to run him off a cliff, after all. And the ones who denied the virgin birth while still calling themselves Christians didn't do so for any historical reasons. They denied it because the virgin birth contradicted their philosophy, not because they had any evidence that it didn't happen. Some of them couldn't stomach the idea of the sublime ideal being corrupted by human flesh. Others were committed to a moral project. They figured, well, Jesus was merely a human who attained something like divine status by living a perfect life. And they thought that if he could do so, then maybe we could too. And that's why the virgin birth is the one miracle that people tend to focus on when they want to deny the literal truth of the Bible. They want to keep God at a distance from them. They also want to think that they're worthy of him just the way they are. Putting those two together, people want to feel as if only they tried hard enough, they could reach the stars. We're uncomfortable with the idea of the virgin birth because it seems so unnecessary. It seems so unnecessary because we hate the idea that we aren't good enough, that we can't be good enough without God. We dislike the virgin birth because we don't like the thought of God messing with a young girl, a girl who, of all the people we read about in the Bible, is probably one of the ones we relate to most easily. So, most of all, we can't stand the idea of God overshadowing Mary because we won't tolerate being overshadowed ourselves. Here's the thing. We need the virgin birth of Jesus. We need God to come from the outside. We need his immensity to dwell in us and to open us up. We need him to mess with us. We need him to take hold of us, change us, remake us, give us a new purpose, give us a new life. Because we are not okay on our own. No matter how hard we try on our own, we will always just make things worse. Our sin doesn't just keep us from Him. It makes us more and more selfish, which means it will keep us committed to destroying the earth, God's creation, just to satisfy our cravings or simply to relieve our boredom. It means it will keep us at odds with one another. So unless God came from the outside, unless He inhabited the virgin's womb, unless He did that, there could never have been any possibility of peace on earth. There would never be the promise of lasting goodwill. Without Him, without His Spirit residing in us, just as He physically resided in His mother, goodwill lasts only as long as we all have plenty to eat and plenty to occupy ourselves with. So I'm going to ask you to consider that. How are you doing? How are you doing without the Spirit of Christ living in you? Will you turn to Him tonight? This night that we set aside to remember that He was born of a virgin, humbly, heralded by angels, attended by grubby shepherds. I want to challenge you to consider how this man, this baby, is fully God and fully human, the only one qualified to suffer and die for you. What do you make of that claim? Is it just a fantasy? Something that ordinarily intelligent people like to believe because it just seems like a cool mystery. I want to challenge you to allow the sinless one to carry your sins upon His back to the cross. If you haven't done that yet, or if you did that long ago and you think these claims are just irrelevant to the modern world, reconciling yourself to that claim is your most pressing business this Christmas. Before the presents, before family, there's a baby who needs to be attended to, who needs to attend to you. If you have already done that, if you do recognize who Jesus is, tonight I want to challenge you to contemplate the true meaning of the virgin birth, to adore and worship the baby Jesus in the full knowledge that the way He was born, the way He was conceived, assures you that you are indeed saved by this little one. That because He is fully God and fully human, He has you securely. You are held. And as He said later, He will not lose any of those whom the Father has given Him. But He will raise you up. Because He is far more than a beautiful and innocent little child that we like to imagine. He's a holy child, set apart, uniquely perfect. Those are radiant beams shining from His holy little face. His birth is the dawn of redeeming grace. Because He was the Savior before time began. He conceived of Mary before she ever conceived him. And he conceived of you. Though you may have never realized it or appreciated it, though you may have forgotten it, his spirit, his power, is the very one who overshadowed Mary. Will you allow his spirit to overshadow you? Will you allow him to show you the staggering miracle that will happen in you when his immensity is cloistered, not in any womb, but in the impregnable chamber of your heart? Will you allow him to open you up from the inside out, cloistering himself in the room that he himself made in you for that very purpose? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you conceived of us before you were ever conceived. Thank you that you saw us before time began. That you came down. You didn't just reach down from heaven. You came down to clasp hands with us, to be nursed by a human mother. The wonder of it. To bleed and die for us. Lord God, fill us with the wonder of that truth this Christmas. Raise us to new life, even as you were raised. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.